From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of October, USDA Report Day. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the reports and reaction in Chicago on the futures markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Ag economist Scott Irwin from the U of I will be here to dissect those reports and give us an overview of what it might mean to the marketplace. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. As we close out the program today, Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated will be here to look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, USDA report day, futures finished the nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat 34 cents lower. The settlement price at $6.26¾ March at $6.63¼ down 31¾ in July at $7.06¼. That's the harvest month. Down 22 cents. The hard red in Kansas City finished July futures at 7.46¼, down 15. Corn futures back in Chicago, 6.40¾, down 4¼. The March at 6.52¾, 4¾ lower. And the May futures, 6.60, down 4¾¢. July corn, $6.64¼, a nickel lower. September at 6.21¾, down 7½. December at 5.96¼ for next year. 4½ cents lower. November beans on the day, $12.39½, up 4 cents. January at $12.49½, 3¼ higher. The March at $12.57, up 2. May $12.62½, up 1¼. July up 1¼ in the bean pit at $12.70¼. And the November beans of next year, $12.34½, down ½¢. Bean meal at $3.20.10, up $3.20. Bean oil at $51.60, down 35 cents. Live cattle futures finished the nearby October at $120.47½, down 90 for the day. December at $121.22½, down 40. October feeders at $138.22½, 25 cents lower. November at $143.32½ in the feeder cattle, up 20 cents. And the October lean hogs unchanged at $92.12½. December futures 67½ higher for 100 pounds at $87.45. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures November contract, $85.39 a barrel, down 40 cents. Ethanol at $2.62¢, that's 0.3¢ lower. Natural gas at $3.49¢, down 12½¢. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, 2¼¢ higher at $2.92¢. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,681.30 an ounce, up $21.60. The Dow at 11,592, just about 176 points higher. And the dollar down 0.5 at 76.9 on the afternoon. The weather forecast, as it comes in from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area, says today we'll see scattered showers yet this afternoon, maybe a few thunderstorms. It'll be mostly cloudy, a high of 76 degrees, south-southeast winds at about 9 miles an hour. Chance of precip for this afternoon, 40% in the area. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, a low of 57, south-southeast winds at 7 miles an hour. The chance of precip actually a bit more than scattered showers because precip chance this evening is 80% for Urbana-Champaign. Thursday showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm or two. That coming before 1 o'clock in the afternoon, then a chance of showers. Cloudy, a high near 69 degrees on Thursday. South-southwest winds at 6 to 14 miles an hour. They'll turn to the northwest. Winds could gust as high as 21. The chance of precip tomorrow set at 70%. And then Thursday night, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming clear. A low of 47. West-northwest winds at 10 to 13. Friday, a high just 66 degrees. It'll be sunny, breezy, at about 11 to 21 miles an hour, gusting all the way with the winds to 30. And Friday night, mostly clear. A low of 44. Saturday, sunny and 66. Saturday night, cloudy and 50. On Sunday, sunny and 70. Monday, mostly sunny and 66 degrees. Tuesday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high of 57.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Time now to check the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd, on this gorgeous, sunny afternoon in the Midwest.
Absolutely. Let me go through some of the numbers from the USDA this morning, and then we can discuss them. Corn production now forecast at 12.4 billion bushels. That's down 1% from September's forecast, down slightly from the 2010 production estimate. It would be the fourth largest crop, by the way, on record. That's down from the third largest that it was forecast previously to be. Average at 148.1 bushels to the acre. That's down 4.7 bushels to the acre from last year's average. It would be the lowest average since 2005. Area harvested for grain forecast at 83.9 million acres. Down 1%, or what, about 500,000 acres, half a million acres. Soybean production at 3.06 billion bushels, down 1% from the September forecast, down 8% from last year, on a 41.5 bushel to the acre crop. That's down 0.3 bushels from last month, 2 bushels from last year. It would, if be realized, the average yield would be the second lowest since 2003. Area harvested there at 73.7 million acres, down slightly from September and down 4% from last year. Did you expect the reaction today that came in the marketplace, Paul?
Well, of course, even going back to yesterday was a major surprise, and it is amazing the amount of shorts in the market, plus the surprise the Chinese came in and bought the volumes they did. The market acted probably a little more predictive today than, of course, yesterday. The marketplace, you know, when we just take on a couple things at face value, you know, from our polling at some of our cash sources in the Midwest, we, you know, my sources indicated they thought the bean crop would be a little bigger. We are hearing about some tremendous yields, of course, in Iowa, you know, the 70 bushel area being talked about. Maybe Minnesota was hurt a little bit with the freeze on soybeans, and of course, we're hearing about pretty good bean yields over here on the east side of the state, east central Illinois. The pod count was disappointing to the USDA, and of course, Ag Resources said they had a high percent of their harvested inputs on some of their statistical fields already done. So that was a little bit of a surprise. And, of course, the problems with the currency and foreign exchange and trade with China and the U.S., this is a little bigger volume of grain than they've bought in the past, kind of reserve building. And it did have an influence and impact on the marketplace. The wheat market, of course, you know, was a disaster and also helped keep the corn market under control.
Okay. Can you go back to yesterday? Because that's where you started. A 40% lock or 40 cent lock move for corn in several contracts in the nearbys. And what's the explanation today?
Well, near as we can tell, there was 1.5 million tons of corn sold out of the U.S. or Argentina. Sources indicate it was probably Bunge or Cargill, and there is a tremendous economic shipping advantage out of the Northwest. Because of cheaper transportation, it's a lot cheaper out of there than the costs out of Argentina to China. There was 100,000 to 120,000 tons of bean oil out of Brazil. 700,000 to 800,000 tons of soybeans probably were sold. The Chinese sources are indicating a 2 million ton total reserve building in soybeans and 700,000 tons of soybean oil. So this will be done as the harvest continues, and it does make some sense because of their profitability on their livestock and a encouraging sign. I think their Chinese premier visited some of their agricultural areas and said, we're going to, you know, this is a big area. This is where we need to upgrade things. And, of course, bingo, they bought a lot of corn soybeans in the marketplace and helps booster morale in the Midwest as well as Congress and in the Midwest.
So can you convert that to bushels? Am I doing it right?
Well, a million tons of corn, I think, is close to, what, the 38 million bushels of corn.
Right. And it's about 60 million bushels.
Yeah. And the beans, about 2 million tons, which would be, what, 36 million bushels. So, you know, it's about 75 million bushels of beans.
Yeah. So those were both big sales, and I guess it showed up in the marketplace in a big way yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah, the exports are a little bit disappointing for corn next year, and the world stocks of corn are bigger by big time, and the world stocks of wheat big time, and there's a lot of corn, for example, out of the Ukraine that's going to keep, we have to fight for exporting corn. So it is our domestic market, and we're not feeding as much wheat as we previously thought. And we have a pretty hefty inventory of corn coming in. So it all added up to a 4-cent lower close. The market did trade considerably lower. And we get the feeling from listening to some of the agricultural forecasters on CNBC, the real star on the block now, of course, is soybeans.
Yeah, so the exports were down 50 million bushels, but we sold 60 million yesterday, right?
Yeah, and of course, the government has that penciled in pretty well as well. And we all know that the Ukrainians and the Russians have a ton of wheat to sell, and it's awful hard to get our corn exports and wheat exports, going. It just, price has got to be one of the factors that gets us even. And unfortunately, ethanol can't carry all the load either.
Okay, so where do you stand? Are you neutral, friendly?
Well, let's just go to what the farmers are doing. They're filling contracts and they're storing both mm-hmm. corn and soybeans big time. Probably a person can just go and harvest your crop and worry a little bit about this around Thanksgiving to the New Year's, and you're not going to be too far wrong as far as corn's concerned. With my prediction, I think that we will see a little inch up in both corn and soybean yields. A person does have to have their ever-sharp pencil if for some reason beans go up 50 cents to a dollar. I would think a person should have your shoes on and be able to market them, and I think the market will take that and move with it too, because the whole world supply of feed grains is a lot different than it was a year ago, because we're going to have to earn these sales the hard way by having a cheap price.
Thanks so much.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Scott Irwin, ag economist from the U of I, now joins us in studio to take up this morning's USDA crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates. Go through the numbers very quickly for me and what you found of interest to begin with.
The USDA lowered the harvest acreage estimate for corn by about 450,000 acres. I think that was probably well anticipated by the market. The corn yield basically stayed the same. They raised it from 148 to 148.1 bushels for the U.S. I think that was something of a significant surprise based on a lot of the market feedback and data that corn yields were better than expected throughout much of the Corn Belt. And in the end, the net is that they raised ending stocks to 866 million bushels from a much lower figure the previous month. That was largely because of the recent stocks report.
And so when you add those numbers up and you use the implied ending stocks from the grain stocks report, you come up with roughly that 866, 872, but it's the yield number that makes the difference, because we've been hearing, for instance, for quite some time that corn yields across the Corn Belt were probably better than most had thought they might be.
And I think that actually that statement might well be true, but what I think people forgot was you can have corn yields better than expected, but still worse than last year. And I think that basically it appears that farmers were probably overly pessimistic about their yield prospects in, say, August and early September. And so when they went into the fields, the yields turned out to be better than those expectations. But it was still, for example, in Illinois, worse than last year. And that's consistent with what happened to the Illinois corn yield estimate, which actually dropped from 161 bushels an acre to 159. And I think that if you just listen to kind of the market chatter in that stream, you wouldn't have expected that.
Whatever happened today and whatever people might think of the grain stocks number, these are the numbers that we'll be using for the coming year. What does it imply for a producer at this point for corn?
Well, it implies that we will not have the degree of tightness in supply and demand conditions going forward that we thought might exist just a few weeks ago. And that means that price levels will not be quite as attractive as we once thought. And that's certainly been reflected in the price move.
Yeah, and the United States Department of Agriculture has dropped its average cash price for the year for corn and for soybeans, for that matter.
Correct. They've been dropping them roughly 30 to 50 cents recently.
And when you look out for either of those two crops, corn or soybeans, what would your best guess for producers who are thinking about their marketing needs for the year, how they might continue to do that? Many, maybe 40, 50, 60, maybe as much as 70% marketed at this point on their corn.
I think that the answer to that is that right now, we're with the price reaction we've seen in the last day, we're getting certainly a bounce off the lows. Basis levels are very tight, and these are still very good marketing opportunities. And there certainly are significant risks in the world economy that, while seemingly abated a bit in recent days, it can turn on a dime. My bias is to not forget to reward the market with a healthy amount of sales at these price levels.
Did you see anything, for instance, in the export figures that reflect the economic problems around the planet?
Absolutely. The USDA dropped both corn and soybean export projections. They're now at, particularly in corn, historically very low levels, certainly reflecting an expectation of weaker economic growth around the world in the upcoming marketing year and recovery of production in other areas.
You know, the WASDE report includes a global outlook for corn, soybeans, and wheat. Those numbers showed you what?
World corn production is expected to increase almost 250 million bushels more in this report than just a month ago. And at the margin, you're talking about a U.S. ending stocks estimate someplace, you know, in that neighborhood of 800 or 900 million bushels. That's a fairly significant jump in the total availability of corn around the world.
Can you identify where most of those bushels are coming from? For instance, are they in the Chinese corn crop?
Yes, you saw that it's in three places, in China and the Ukraine and the former Soviet Union states combined accounted for all of the increase estimates of corn production.
Over the long run, and now I'm talking decade, not a year, are your expectations that that increasing number of bushels that's coming out of planted acres in China, in Ukraine, and the former Soviet states will continue to increase and rise as they may or may not be able to implement better farming practices?
Well, China's an interesting case because there's clearly tremendous potential for them to increase the productivity of the acres that are planted to corn. Whether they will make those investments or try to source those imports other places regarding that as a less expensive alternative remains to be seen. I think the one thing we can be certain of is that we will likely see continued production increases for corn outside of the U.S., particularly in the Ukraine and the former Soviet states and in other Central European countries in the next decade. I think we'll see a rise of alternative suppliers to the U.S. in corn, much like we saw in the 70s through the 90s in soybeans in South America.
Finally, come back to the domestic figures from the crop production report, from the WASDE report. Were there anything in those numbers that I didn't ask you about that you found of great interest?
Well, of course, the drop in the soybean yield forecast was a real surprise to most analysts, including myself. I had expected soybean yields based on the reports that we've been receiving to inch up a bit. And in fact, the USDA dropped those about 3/10 of a bushel. There'd been a lot of discussion about potential frost damage in the northern growing areas. And in fact, it was rather surprising that, for example, Minnesota's soybean yield was unchanged. South Dakota actually went up a bushel. The big decliner in terms of soybean yields actually turned out to be Illinois, whose yields dropped 2 bushels in this current report. And I think that surprised quite a few people.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
My pleasure.
Scott Irwin, ag economist from the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line, Matt Kunisch from the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon.
I bet farmers were surprised and somewhat pleased with yesterday's jump in the marketplace and then a little bit disappointed that after USDA left the average national yield the same and dropped acres by 500,000 in corn, that they didn't move the marketplace higher again today.
Well, I do think a lot of that was built into the market yesterday. They priced a whole lot of bullish news into the market yesterday before the release of the report. A lot of guys had that lean, and we did solidify that that's what it is today. However, we'd priced a lot in, so I don't believe it was overly surprising that that's what happened, but I'm sure there were some guys definitely surprised by that.
Are producers, now that we've had a little bump in the marketplace, willing sellers again yet of grain across the scale and making new crops or new sales to you?
A little bit. It is picking up a little bit. It's amazing how much guys are still holding on to right now. It's definitely slower than what I've anticipated, but with the bump yesterday, it did pick up, yes.
How tight is your basis?
I'm sorry, say that again?
How tight is your basis for corn?
I mean, we're 5-7 over.
You're 5-7 over.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
So the marketplace really wants corn. You want corn there. And bases across the Midwest seems awfully tight just about everywhere. What does that tell the marketplace? It usually tells producers they ought to sell at this point.
Ought to at least move it and put it on basis because they're, I mean, the eastern part of Indiana, you can get 20-40 over right now. And right now, if you're to do that, you're 20 over the July. There's no need to hold on to it. So
why is the market so – why is the basis over – why are there overs? Why is it so tight at this point? And give me just a second because we have to break away from some of our radio stations, but I want to continue to talk with you. That's Matt Kunisch. He's with the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Okay, Matt, so why is it that basis you think is so tight at this point? If we really truly did manage to pick up grain stocks like we think we did just 10 days ago.
Well, the problem isn't the grain stocks, it's where the grain is stored because in the eastern part of the state they had a rough year last year. Harvest is slow, a lot, 2 to 3 weeks slower than what they had anticipated this year. And getting the corn there is the biggest problem. You know, they're not really into harvest on a big scale. They have a small harvest coming at them on that part of the state. And, I mean, right now the ethanol plants, they don't have huge storage or drying capabilities, so they have to pay for it to move and be dry at the same time.
And what are your bids for the day?
Right now, Delphi corn, 645, Climbers corn, 648, and Delphi beans at 1192.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And that is Matt Cooney. She's with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now, if you want to hear Matt again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report, each and every business day and everything in between. And our weekend program, that one's called Commodity Week. You can also pick them up on our mobile website for your smartphone at m.willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated now on the phone line to take up the forecast for the Midwest and the globe. Let's start right here in the Corn Belt. Rainfall still expected over the next 24 to 72 hours?
Yes, indeed. A lot of shower and thunderstorm activity expected to come across the region as a slow-moving cool front brings up some moisture from the south and then condenses it out as cooler air comes in behind it. So we will indeed see a fair amount of shower and thunderstorm activity for the rest of today and tomorrow, and then we'll see a notable drying trend from west to east across the region as we get into Friday, actually Thursday night into Friday. So some of the rainfall that's going to occur is going to be quite variable. Most of it will be on the light side, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a few locations picking up on a half inch to an inch and a quarter in a few spots. So, but for the most part, this precipitation will be great for a winter wheat planting and establishment, but we're probably not going to encounter too much in the way of interruption or problems for the harvest of summer crops.
And then as you look a little further out, you say we get drier. Do we get colder as well eventually?
Yes, indeed. There will be a cooling trend that will come up here next week that is likely to drop temperatures down a little bit more below average, actually. We haven't seen much of that here for quite some time. The cooling that comes along is likely to stimulate a little bit of a definitely a chill in the air. We'll see some more frost and freezes occur across the region. Obviously, they're not going to have any major impact across the region since our crops are basically mature at this point. So it's just going to be a short-term chill down. It's going to last for a couple of days. We'll turn right around, start warming up again, and then we'll seesaw once more with another round of cooling out sometime after about the 18th or 19th of the month.
Take a look into the southern hemisphere. Tell me about planting progress and crop conditions as they get into the start of their growing season for Brazil and Argentina.
You know, Argentina is moving along very well with their spring planting. They had some dryness earlier in the season, but that seems to be mostly healed up with the exception of the northwestern part of the country where we are now seeing an ongoing bit of dryness there, but that's outside of the main grain and oilseed production areas. The rest of Argentina, though, is in good shape and will stay that way over the next week to 10 days with timely rains. In Brazil, everybody will get rain at one time or another over the next 10 days, and that's going to help to reinforce the planting process that's underway right now and help to assure that crops are favorably established. There'll still be some low subsoil moisture in some areas, though, and follow-up rain will be important.
And finally, if you could check in on the Australian wheat crop for me.
Most of Australia's small grains are moving into reproduction across the southern parts of the country, at least. We are done with the crop in the north. Those northern areas lost a little bit of yield potential because of some dryness. But the situation in southern areas where the reproduction process will occur over these next few weeks will be just about ideal, I think, and they should end up yielding quite favorably.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Be safe during the harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.